Blog Talk.
How we do it in the streets? Here, let's see the girls.
World star!
Self-esteem while I dream, wishing for thousands of all my selfish dreams. The thought of money got us out here wildin', cause if that dough ain't on your mind, it must be in your wallet. I feel like the chase for riches is a struggle for me to be in. No shout out to my mother while she juggling me and Ian. The budget was leaning to fall, but we rise, so we was never worried about it at all, so we ride. The rapper life I wanna start living. Couple of models start stricken, so they start stripping. Of course, living good, a part of me is stressful. I know I'm not alone, and it's hard to be successful when it's hard to read a pencil on my city when I'm writing now. Deep thought as I question and the bird dang spoke. We figure we fail. One time my nigga L.
Go nigga, go girl, proceed. It's your world.
Rap a hustle, write it down in a re-up. I write my name in the clouds. I ride around with Alina.
You know, children learn very easily by what they see, and especially by what their parents do, you know, so we learn a lot from our fathers just by looking at them and seeing
them. They said to try weed, I had doubt I wouldn't listen, but then I took a hit and found out what I was missing, I was tripping. Crazy how we smoke our A's, trying to do it without a daddy, but who don't nowadays? No matter where I go, the drama always tailing on me, feel a couple classes when my mama thinks she feeling on me. I'm not knocking, leave the rest into the rest of y'all, and I'm not knocking like the cops who come arresting y'all. I've been ill, but if not, you now know, when the flow of chinchilla, cause I knock it out cold. I've been rocking out shows, like a comic profit and make more, but that's just common knowledge, like common knocking on Drake's.
Disrespect and also kind of a societal backlash in terms of, you know, the stand your ground laws with people shooting young black men with impunity. It seems that
and in a lot of different areas, you know, they are the NAACP mm-hmm. is, you know, picking up and leading. But right. You know what they call the National Association of Colored People.
The National Association for the Advancement
That's
of Colored,
colored
People.
I wanted them to change that to Advancement of Black People.
Well, you know, I don't mind that. I mean, the tradition
elders.
Is tradition of
yeah.
the organization. I don't mind that at all.
I do.
It's just that, you know, we need to get, because the majority of people that were in the room were senior citizens
yeah.
for the most part. And we need to really, I'm going to join myself, become a member, become an active member. We need to get new blood in the NAACP because it's our generation's time, past time, that we probably get a little bit more forceful about things. In terms of moving the agenda and the
okay.
rights and abilities of black people on. So
yeah.
I believe we have Aunt Gwen. I call her Aunt Gwen. You call her.
I call her Gwen. Better known as Dr. Gwen Grant. Are you on, Dr. Grant?
Yes, absolutely.
Is she there?
You really touched on a major point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tribe.
Well, if you can hear us, Gwen, you might want to try back. We're going to try to call her. Is that correct there, lady in the control booth?
Yeah, yeah.
Ayana's Halloween, because everybody's celebrating the Halloween Halloween festivity, and she's dressed up today like a black woman.
She's a top engineer.
There you go.
Good. I am.
An assertive, essence woman, new millennium, black woman.
I'm telling you, she's all right.
How's your people? You're gonna call. We're gonna call you on, Gwen, if you're out there listening to us.
Yes,
and,
I'm listening.
The NAACP event was really great. We went to, and also we want
to.
We had a tribute, a dedication to late Congressman Donald Payne Sr. The Mayor Bowser. Is it Hamilton? Is it Ham Bowser? Ham Bowser, Senior Community Center in East Orange, New Jersey, and they the Bowser family, they dedicated a hall to the late Congressman Donald M. Payne Sr., and we went to the event on Sunday. It was really great. People had some really great things to say. But, you know, for me, it was seeing a lot of people that I've been seeing all throughout my life growing up that have been active in the community and active in the rights and pushing the agenda for African-Americans forward ever since I was a kid. And to hear some of these great stories like Everett Felder, Uncle Everett, talking about when he signed my father up
For the
NAACP and things like that. So it was really great to hear the history.
Okay, and we're going to try Dr. Grant again.
Right.
But also I wanted to mention that there was a tribute, a very important tribute at the NAACP event the other night, and that was to Sally Carroll.
Right, right.
You
that's right.
You know, 92 years. Oh, she would have a fit that I was mentioning her age, but anyway.
But you wouldn't know
it. Yeah, no, not at all. She
Sally
was the first black policewoman.
First black female detective,
and
part of the Essex County Sheriff's Department, right?
Yeah, probation department, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. What a history.
And she's my cousin, so we're real proud.
Our
cousin, obviously. We were real proud there to be there. She's been, actually was president.
Yeah.
Back in.
Hello.
60, right?
Yeah.
Twice she was.
Yeah.
So.
Hello.
She was on a national board, you know.
Quite a pioneer lady.
Let's try Dr. Grant.
We're going to call her, and I'm sure that they'll let us know when we have her.
Yeah. She's on now. Okay. Dr. Grant, are you on?
Yes.
Hello, Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant.
I am here.
We get this connection. She's absolutely fantastic. She's on the phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, okay. We're having difficulty with her phone. And as soon as we get her... I think so. I'm not sure about that.
Not sure about that, whether it's a landline or not. If you are listening, Aunt Gwen, we need you to call in via a landline would be better. But if not, we're going to wait and see if we can still try to get in contact with you.
Yeah. In the meantime, there is something I want to talk about. You know, now we have been involved with politics for a long period of time. In fact, we're going to get to Congressman Donald Payne Jr. later on in the program also. But, you know, one thing I would like to ask people, you know, why should we be involved in politics? This is, you know, I get this question all the time, and I'm asking people, what do you mean, why shouldn't you? You know, because you were involved in politics or we were involved in politics, we have an African-American president, whether you like him or whether you know. That was a huge, monumental event, and still is.
I hope there's nobody nowadays that still wonder why African-Americans should be involved in politics. It's not really... Politics is the way that the way of governing and negotiating with other people to try and move your agendas that you have forward and representation and things like that. And your generation certainly as generations before you certainly, of course, but there was a pivotal movement, and you're the generation of Dr. King. And at that point, I think that your generation said no more, and that was a civil rights era.
That's right.
And there were some things that caused the plight of African Americans in this country to jump forward all those years ago, and it kind of came to a head at that point, and people were tired of having a very limited access to life. So
I think we have Dr. Grant on the phone right now. Let's try it again. Dr. Grant, are you there? Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant.
Hello.
Because we're not getting through.
Hello.
Right.
It's another caller. That's fine anyway. So you might put it on.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi.
On the air.
Can you hear me?
And that call is not coming through either. We're having this.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Everything is new here, by the way.
Hi.
So when I say
okay.
They have a lot of
hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
So,
hello.
Skeletons.
Hello. Hello. Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Right, and if you're watching us,
I hear them.
See that there's a lot of festive Halloween type of accessories, so to speak, here in the studio. And Halloween is tomorrow, so for folks that are interested that do celebrate that, and the kids go out trick-or-treating and stuff like that, that's really a festive time, certainly for the children.
And also, you know, people have to be really very careful, because you can't let your children go up to a door without you going right up there with them, because there's too many things going on with people trying to snatch children and do all kinds of things. So we're sending out messages to all the parents and grandparents, listen, if you are taking your children out into the community or anyone else, make sure you stay with them.
Right.
So we have another caller on the air, which we're going to try to get through, because we are having some issues with Blog Talk Radio, which is not unusual, because when you're trying something and you have redecorated or, you know, reconstructed things, you may be having a little difficulty.
Well, that's
so
also with Blog Talk, which is the website.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens in the internet world, and sometimes when you... There's those little gremlins that they call that when you drop in too much science.
Yeah.
The enemies try to shut you down.
Oh yeah.
We refuse to be shut down.
Speak, brother.
At GoPro Radio.
Is that Ty?
And Ty is very festive. I should turn one of these cameras on so you can see the Instagro.
Yeah.
Give me a secret. You know. Afro.
No justice, no speech. No peace, no speech.
So we're putting
it
down a little bit too much on them. You know, when you start talking truth to power, sometimes the power structure has ways of reaching out to you. Y'all know what I'm saying.
Let them try. You know, we cannot be moved and we will not be silent. You know, the struggle does continue. I remember being in WLIB, you know, those early days, you know, during the Tawana Brawley case, during the case in Brooklyn, doing so many different things.
Right.
With black people being beaten worse than they are now. And I say than they are now because we've got to be, you know, very cognizant of the stop and frisk law, which has been...
Right.
Or they're trying to outlaw it. I don't know why they don't see that they should outlaw it, especially
since it's
racially set up, and it is. There's no doubt about it.
It's soon to become the new mayor. He will be outlawing that.
Did he make a statement or what, by that commercial that he had? You know, I was looking at him.
You mean with his black son?
Yeah,
I think he probably made you're making a statement when you come out as a white man with your black son with the big fro.
But that's
a statement. And your black wife with dreads, no less. So
when I saw both of the candidates, you know, you know, giving their speeches, you know, for the mayoralty thing, it was okay. You listen in.
Right.
But then when he had this kid with him, and he said, "And that's my dad." I said, "Whoops." And he had a huge, bigger than your fro, Ty Washington, over there in engineering. And I said, "That's it. He's won it."
Right.
You know,
right.
that was a turning point as far as I was concerned.
Well, that lets you know.
That was a statement.
Right. That lets you know that he directly understood why stop and frisk was wrong.
Because
his son, I don't know whether it happened to his son or not by this point, but that's something that could very much happen to his son. His son. It could be in the for lack of a better term, the endangered species list of being a young black male, potentially endangered species list, if you want to talk about endangered people, because, you know, there's a serious aggression perpetuated against young black men.
And it has
young
been
brown
for quite
men,
a while.
African-American and Hispanic and Latino. So, you know, we need to protect him. And as a father, I'm sure he was very concerned about that.
Sure.
He had always been, since I've been following the campaign, against stop and frisk, which is something that the majority of people, where I have friends who have stopped and frisked, guys with gray in their beards, white beards, my friend Gerard Brown, who wrote Jonan, had experienced that. So it's good that de Blasio came out and was adamantly against that. And people saw that, so he definitely seems like the best candidate to me, and it appears that he's going to win, and that'll be great to have
But the reason I was so interested in him wasn't initially, because I did not know that he had an interracial family, and did that make a difference? Yes, it did. Did it make a difference that he had an African wife? Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think she might be from the Caribbean, but I was very glad to see her.
We're not sure.
Very glad to. Well, you know. Yeah, okay. We're going to see if we can hear our guest again before we go on with this kind of dialogue. Hello, are you on the air, Dr. Grant?
Yes, here I am.
I can hear her vaguely.
Very faintly.
Yeah, we can hear you faintly. We were trying very hard to get through to you. So if we pull this off, we will. If not, we will, have you on for next week, no matter where you are going to be in the country or out of the country.
And well, absolutely.
But let's continue our conversation while we're here.
Yeah, so hang on, Dr. Grant.
About the...
okay, we'll do.
Blasio,
he
really seems like a great candidate.
Yeah.
For mayor, and it appears that he's going to win and beat the Republican candidate. So that'll be good to have a real Democrat as mayor of New York City, not just one who the independent.
Yeah. Dr. Grant, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
You're saying yes,
it's really,
but it's not
really faintly
in.
We
yeah.
hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Very faintly.
I'm going to work on those, that problem that we're having there. But as I was saying, Bill de Blasio seems like he's going to be a great mayor when he gets elected. As everybody now, what's going on in the politics world? Everyone knows I like to talk a little politics. The Republicans were today grilling. They were having Catherine Sebelius answer questions about the rollout of the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah, holding her responsible.
The whole thing about it. Here's the irony of the situation. They said the president said that people could keep their same insurance that they had, but it come to find out that some people, in fact, will not be able to keep the same insurance. But the caveat to that, the funny thing about it is, okay, he wasn't telling the truth, he wasn't upfront. But here's the thing, the funny thing is that, yeah, they might not be able to keep their same insurance, but they'll have access to insurance that'll actually be cheaper. So, I don't know what you get mad at. You get mad at that he didn't tell you the truth, or the fact that he's just getting you cheaper health insurance.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of
funny.
These guys all of a sudden, first they tried to kill it, now they
can hear me?
It'll be good enough, and they're just so full of it.
Yeah.
It's really sad to see that they're trying to make sure that Barack Obama does not
have... Yeah, I'm talking.
And notice that none of them came up with some
testing.
Insurance that's so necessary to especially poor people.
None of them offered any alternative.
Nope.
And, you have their talking heads today on these various shows to talk. But the funny thing is, and I'm sure they're not the first ones, they literally lie about this. Literally.
Hello?
We're driving over. People are... I mean, just the fact to say that people are going to die because of someone trying to give them health care is so ridiculous. I don't know what's more ridiculous, that she was saying it, or that people actually elected this Looney Tunes lady to represent them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Sarah Palin. I don't know. It's like the lowest common denominator that they're going for, these people. You got Sarah Palin coming on, and they had their lynch party. And they call it a lynch party when they came out there, stood in front of the over in front of the White House to talk about the president, have some idiot radio talk show tell the president to come out with his hands up. these guys are unbelievable. Unbelievable. And they're un-American. If you hear me, talking to all of y'all.
They are comedians.
It's a new style, but beware. There's a new style African-American now.
That's right.
We might not necessarily be down to be turning cheeks. Going to be chins, they're going to be checked, but it ain't going to be turning no cheeks.
Because the point is, we're not giving up.
Period. I've been telling people lately, I'm a Malcolm X Democrat. I know Malcolm X wasn't even in politics, but you know what I'm saying when I'm saying I'm a Malcolm X Democrat.
But when you were in the movie Malcolm X, you felt very helped himself that part when you played Malcolm. Because
that's a hard segue, just real briefly, then we'll get back on track. Briefly with that. I literally watched Denzel Washington become and channel Malcolm X. Spike Lee has often said that day when Denzel Washington, when we recreated Malcolm X's bamboozle speech in Harlem in front of the bookstore, that Denzel channeled Malcolm X. And And we literally watched this guy turn into Malcolm X before our very eyes. It was one of the most remarkable things, certainly as an actor.
Yeah.
Seeing another actor achieve that was a remarkable and inspiring thing. But the real point of it is that I was able, when I first got out of college, saw Denzel do When the Chickens Come Home to Roost,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
which was a play that was performed at the Henry Street Settlement Theater down in the Village. And maybe you might have seen it, Ma, because I might have.
Yep.
I remember coming home and seeing a program mm-hmm. from the show there. And that's when I had heard about Denzel from a friend of mine in school that had met him. And so I came home to see this, and I happened to see this flyer about this guy with the funny name that I thought, Denzel, what kind of name is that for? So what happened was that PBS taped the show. They taped it and broadcast it on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him at a very young age, maybe 26, 25, it was when Elijah Muhammad silenced Malcolm X for making those statements mm-hmm. about John F. Kennedy being assassinated, making the When Chickens Come Home to Roost statement. And what happened was that you could see physically he was too young. It was apparent that he was too young. But in that, you see the seeds of him creating this character some 20 years before. And when I think back on that and then the experience when he actually played Malcolm X, I realized that it was his destiny to play that role.
Malcolm X.
To play
really?
Malcolm X.
Yeah.
And it really is a remarkable thing. And I posted something on Facebook on our group, K. Thompson Live group that we have on Facebook. I posted it on there to talk about that because someone put up a picture from the movie when Denzel was making this speech. And I was in the picture. I'm in the background in the picture mm-hmm. playing one of the Fruits of Islam. And I talked about that experience. And I really believe that it was his...
Yeah, that's
character.
What you said. Yeah.
And it was a remarkable thing to see that. And it was, you know, a highlight for me and an honor to be a part of telling that story about
it. Yeah,
that.
And I know when you were talking about it, you know, after what we've seen that mm-hmm. film, you know, you said that it was almost as if he was channeling Malcolm.
Right, right.
He became Malcolm.
Right, he just channeled,
you know,
Malcolm.
It's really...
So well, let's get back to the politics, because I want to talk about a current day now. The Alan Grayson is a congressman out of Florida.
Yeah.
Extremist Democrat. He says just... The things he says are as wild as they... As the right says. Obviously, he says a lot of things loud and clear and give it right back to him. And he posted on his Facebook page a picture of a burning cross, and he used the cross to spell out, no, he's on our side.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
He used.
Tell me.
I'm telling you. I want
okay.
you to listen to what
go
I'm
ahead.
Saying now. He used Alan Grayson as a Democrat. He's
okay.
very extreme, and he gives it to the Republicans, the Tea Party. Just he comes down on them just as hard as they come back at us.
Okay.
He used the picture of this burning cross. The cross created a T, and that was the T in Tea Party. And being interviewed by Reverend Al, he said the Tea Party is no more popular than the Ku Klux Klan. And he caught so yeah. much flack for that from people that are, you know, consider themselves Tea Party members. I went on his Facebook page to, you know, you kind of like things that you see. And he caught a lot of flack. There were a lot of Tea Party people that were bombarding his page, calling him this, calling him all kind of names.
And what's his name again?
His name is Alan Grayson.
Alan Grayson.
He's a congressman out of Florida. He's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just very, I mean, he's not afraid to mix it up with him, is my point. He's not afraid to say things that some people think that are extreme or outlandish, but no, he tells it like it is from what he feels about them. And he's really someone that I have come to respect a great deal, because just as extreme and loud, and you know, he'll get down in the gutter with them too if they want to take. If that's where they want to take it, he's not afraid to do that, and that's what I like about him. More Democrats perhaps need to be a little bit more willing to fight fire with fire, and a lot of the people were really upset that he was comparing them to the Klan. Of course, they brought up the fact that the Klan was started by Democrat Day and all these other arcane old statistics and historical facts that really don't answer the question, the notion nowadays that the Tea Party seems like that they're doing things similar to what the Klan kind of did back in the day. So I thought it was really a cool thing, and he was catching them. A lot of people going off on him, but a lot of supporters started speaking up. I left something on his page as well. So he's...
God, we'll have to see if we can get him on the air, you know.
Possibly.
So, yeah.
If we can get him on the air, really great.
In the meantime, meantime, I'll be doing some research, and, you know, just
in the okay, in the meantime, too, let's say that we're being brought to you by our sponsors, once again, Vonda's Kitchen in North New Jersey. A really good, comfort, soul food. And the address of that is Vonda's
Kitchen. 183 Whiskin Street in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who know Newark, well, if you go up to High Street, and if you're going up Central Avenue, you're going to make a left turn in front of the City Hall or something. Make that left turn
on High Street.
And you're going to be going on the left turn over High Street, and then you can meet Whiskin Street and make a right turn. And she's in the second block, I think.
Okay.
And the food is the first.
Yeah, but just double check the directions and Google them. I'm leery about giving people directions because I'm not exactly
sure about that.
And also, we're also sponsored by Bogey's Nightclub and Lounge and by Johnson in East Orange, New Jersey. And that address would be
527 William Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the corner of William and I forget the other street, but 527 William Street in East Orange. And I have to say, too, that Lottie's restaurant
is also a part of
the Reuben Johnson's
Bogey's Lounge.
Right. Bogey's is the lounge where, you know, people come in and there's music and there's,
and
yeah, nightclub and everything. And it's really big fun. You were up there, you know. I haven't been
going up,
you know, again because I have to eat that good food. And then from there, I'm going to go to Vonda's.
They also have some
again.
Good food. That's right. So those are our sponsors here today.
Yeah. And Lottie's, by the way, was named for Reuben's mother.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So
there's some really good, some good food there. So
absolutely.
We want to encourage everybody to go and check those places out. We are still having a little difficulty in terms of people calling in. We're sorry to Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby-Grant.
Right.
That's three G's.
Yeah, who was working for Essence Magazine for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, she's a motivational speaker, and she's just absolutely fantastic. She was at that affair the other night.
That's right. That's right.
So we're glad to see her then.
Looking really sharp there.
Yep.
You had a great outfit on there. I didn't get a chance to say it on, but that was really a sharp outfit that you had.
Well, she's fabulous.
So what's your guy's history? I mean, I remember you used to tell me that Aunt Gwen used to dance, right?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, I had forgotten about that, but we had the Thompson Dance Studio.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Cynthia Holliday, the jazz singer that was in Georgia, you know, who will be trying to open it. We had a dance group that she was the head of. She was Elaine Jones, friend of ours, and Mary Brock's sister.
Right.
And we started performing around, you know, at the same time I was at the college, at the same time, then after that I started teaching in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, but dance was always a part of my life. As a matter of fact, we have relatives out in Ohio right now.
Right.
Who has just started a dance class.
Right.
And now I find that, you know, there's a lot of my students, of our students, meaning my sister Pat,
mm-hmm.
Pat Thompson Joyner, and Kay Thompson Payne had the Thompson Dance Studio for years.
Right.
And it was the Thompson Dance Studio and preschool. Mom, mother, and dad, you know, ran the preschool. And that's where Johnny James and Elliot you know, went to school. That's Mayor James' sons.
For those of you who don't know Johnny James and Elliot, those are the sons of the former mayor of Newark, New Jersey, John James. So,
former Mayor Sharp James.
Former Mayor Sharp James, that's
right.
Correct. Sorry. Can our guests hear us? If you can, speak up. I'm also see that we have my buddy, that's a 626 number, and I believe that's my buddy Ken Whittingham, and he's calling from home, I believe. And if you're able to hear us, Ken, maybe you can. I'm sure you can hear us, but if you could speak up or say something so we can know, because we're having, it's Halloween here, and we're having some crazy kind of things going on here.
Okay, all right. Can you guys hear me? Microphone check.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Ken Whittingham?
Hello? And
yes.
This is Cynthia Holliday. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes, I can. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, we have Cynthia on the air and then Ken.
So why don't we, Ken, why don't you hold on? We're going to get you a little bit in the discussion as well, but we're going
to
go ahead and briefly talk to Ms. Holliday there.
International Jazz Singer. Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
Hi, Kay. I'm great. How are you?
Fine. You know, we were having a little difficulty to hear. We think there are gremlins, and all kinds of funny people floating around,
so,
messing with
us.
Well,
this is mischief night, you know.
This is mischief night. That's right, Ms. Holliday. Now, let's do it like this. Since we have, you know, you're an artist. I have my friend Ken Whittingham on the line. He's an artist as well, a television director. So why don't we make this a broader conversation about art and stuff like that. Ms. Holliday, and Ken Whittingham, say hello to Ms. Holliday.
Hello, Ms. Holliday. It's a true honor to be on the show with
Ken,
nice to meet you.
And Ken is calling from all the way from Altadena, California.
Alta who?
Girl,
Altadena.
Don't talk about
Altadena.
I'm talking about Altadena.
All right.
We're next to Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly.
So,
you're like, where's Pasadena? The Rose Bowl.
All right. Now, Cynthia Holliday's a jazz singer. You know, she's reinventing her career. I mean, fabulous, sensational jazz singer. Just got back from abroad somewhere, right, Cynthia?
Just got back from Moscow.
Well,
and yeah, it was wonderful.
Well,
yeah,
well, you know, well, speaking of jazz, my my neighbor who lives right around the corner is Patrice Rushen.
Wow.
So
fabulous
that's
lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Jeez.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Tell us about Moscow.
Well,
are they accepting or what?
It was my second time there. The first time I went to Siberia at 20 degrees below zero. That was an interesting experience. And then in September, I went again, this time to Moscow. But they were so accepting and so inviting. They may not speak English, but they do know jazz standards, and they have a great appreciation for the music as well as for artists. So I had a fabulous time, and I was shocked at the very modern jazz clubs and restaurants where I performed.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Now, also, Ken and Cynthia, Eric, you've been in Russia.
I went to Russia during my sophomore year of college. I used to do a lot of trips with the YMCA, and went there for about 2 weeks to Moscow as well. And Leningrad, and a place called Tallinn, Estonia, which is a little bit north. Now, I was there in 1980, and that's when really communism was a serious, a little bit more of a serious on the country.
I bet that was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole time.
Yeah. So we had a group, and we were representing the YMCA. We were speaking with members of the Young Pioneers Club, which is their equivalent of the YMCA, and we were talking about détente and nuclear disarmament and things like that. So it was really an eye-opening, a great experience, because what you find, and I know you found this as well, Ken, you've traveled quite extensively. When you go around the world and you meet just the regular people, I'm not talking about officials and dignitaries and people who might, you know, be celebrities, but I'm talking about people who just want to live and just want to pursue their life and provide for their families and have a decent life for themselves. Everybody's pretty much the same. That's what they want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've found. And it's sometimes the politics of those people who run nations that divide us.
Yeah.
And so through music, you've experienced that, Ms. Holliday. That kind
yes,
of brings.
I have.
Up.
Yeah.
And in talking to some of the people about their customs and whatnot, you know, very often they would talk about the days of communism when everyone was, regardless of whether you were a doctor or a teacher or a street cleaner, everyone lived in the same kind of housing. Everything you did was provided by the government. You mm-hmm. didn't really want anything because they provided everything, but the people were miserable. Because right. everybody wants their own, you know, the opportunity to be an individual and get paid based on your merit. So, you know, because I said to them, why don't you smile? You know, there's not a smiling culture. And that's how we got into one of the conversations.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who worked on comedies in the 80s and shows like Married with Children and Who's the Boss and some of the older shows who are now producing versions of that show in Russia.
Wow.
And the same format and they've adapted these formats and the multi-camera sitcom in Russia now, which is supposedly very popular now. Did you see, Ms. Holliday, did you see any television while you were there?
Even though I don't speak a word of Russian, I watch television every single day, you know, during those times before mm-hmm. performance when you're just in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because on some of the movies you could just follow it and tell
right.
what they were talking about. So,
yeah.
Yes, I watched in Russian and made my own interpretation. But they had, you know, soap operas and game shows and so mm-hmm. forth. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cynthia,
yeah, it's pretty interesting. I got a chance to direct a Brazilian sitcom a few years back, and I didn't speak a word of Portuguese, and they didn't speak English, but my assistant directors did. And you're kind of right. After a while, you know, just through influxes and words and inflection, rather, you kind of know what they're saying, and mm-hmm. kind of you totally understand it. So mm-hmm. it's pretty clear,
very
universal.
No,
and the people can scrape up a little bit more English than I could ever scrape up any Russian. So,
but you know, we're also told in this country that a lot of people all over the world are more familiar with the English language than we are.
Correct.
I'll tell you a
mm-hmm.
story about watching shows. I also traveled to Holland, and one of our hosts that was there with us took us to a movie. So we went to a movie in Holland that was, I think, a German movie. That was a German movie that had Dutch subtitles that were translated to us by our host that took us. He translated in English. So when things were going on, he would read the subtitles, tell us what was going on. And there was a scene where a character was in blackface and there was a joke and he was like, yes, and he started telling us what happened. He kind of caught himself. So I'm sitting there with him, so it was kind of funny.
Now, Ken, this is the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah.
You know, now you're going to tell me that when you were in the Philippines. All right, go back.
No, we're not going to talk. That was
a different
but,
okay.
But also, Ken, I wanted to talk to you about the usage of music in a lot of the shows that you do since Ms. Holliday is
fantastic jazz,
but I mean, you know, as you know, the music is used a lot to convey emotions. You're directing a show currently, Parenthood, that they seem I don't know how much music they use, but talk about that a little bit, how that's used.
Well, that's really interesting. I was just in New York a couple of weeks ago, and went and saw a jazz artist by the name of Tierney Sutton, and she, you know, she was at the Jazz Standard and performed, and she did one song, and she knew I was there, and she kind of pointed me out and said, "Hey, that'd be a good song for TV, wouldn't it?" And ironically, it was a good song for television. So sometimes it just kind of has to strike you, you know, in a way, and you kind of have to match it with a scene. You know, it has to be the right type of music for the scene, the particular scene or the particular montage that you might be doing in a show. So a lot of times there are certain artists that kind of stick with me, and and I kind of try to incorporate their music into the show. Like I used to do the Bernie Mac show, and we would use a lot of old, not so much a little bit of jazz, but a lot of R&B from the 70s, and it was great that we were able to use those songs and get some of those artists paid again.
Mm. Wow.
But the only thing that was kind of unfortunate is that they realized later how expensive it was once the show went into syndication to continue to pay all those artists. So they had to go back and kind of redo remixes and take some of those original songs that we put in the first run of the show. They had to go back and kind of remaster and take some of those songs out, unfortunately, because they just didn't want to pay the fee. So that's the only unfortunate part. But whenever I can, I try to get artists, new artists and old artists, a paycheck, especially if the music works.
Right. And that's a yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Cynthia, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say something along that same nature actually happened to me. I had the opportunity and great fortune to be interviewed on the television show Here and Now.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were going to do was to, in fact, what they did do was to come to the club, Showman's Jazz Club, and tape me, tape part of my performance. And when it came down to editing, at first they weren't going to be able to show any of my performance because of the songs that I sang, and they didn't have the budget to pay the royalties.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it just so happened that one of the songs that I sang was my own original. So that song was aired.
Right.
Wow.
Mm. Right.
Just,
I know.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, and I had a friend, Branford Marcellus, an old friend of mine, worked with him on a movie, and we met and became friends. And when he first took over as musical director on the Jay Leno show, when Jay Leno first took over for Johnny Carson,
mm-hmm.
Branford was the musical director. And he would play a lot of old jazz standards, you know, Horace Silver and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And he told me later on that he wanted to help get those old school those artists paid.
Yeah.
And the guy who took over after him, I'm not gonna say his name. Everybody knows, I'm sure, because he became much more synonymous with the Tonight Show. Branford wasn't really his cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
so he left the show. But the guy who took over after him ended up playing a lot of his own music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess saving the show money, but also he would get paid too. So it was just. It's just ironic. I want to ask you both, and I know the answer to this, and I'll get into this on this conversation. How do we all feel? I know how we feel about, you know, the new technology now that kind of cuts into our money, you
yeah.
know, with people able to use music or bootleg versions of your music and not get paid the royalties, or Ken and I know that when people bootleg movies, that cuts into our
yeah, you
income.
Don't get that. Yeah.
Mm. You know, so how do you feel, Cynthia, about that, and you as well, Ken?
Well, I think that this ship is rolling, and there's not a doggone thing that anybody can do about it.
Mm.
You know, the business of the music. The business of the music has changed.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. And so the key is then to be creative about being in this whole world and field of entertainment. You know, what ways can we make money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just look to put further branches on my tree. I would hope to be so lucky that I would have a big hit and would have to cry over the fact that people are downloading, you know, my music. And if it happens, you know, I had the same conversation with one of the musicians who took great exception to someone who was in the audience and pulled out their cell phone, and he wanted to stop playing and tell the person to stop doing it. I said, I understand, the sensitivity that artists don't want to be or used to not want to be filmed unless you gave them your permission. I said, but while that man is putting down his cell phone, the next one next to him is turning his cell phone off.
Right.
So
right.
you're fighting against a war that really is, you know, is on its way, and all it's going to do is evolve. So as artists, we have to find out how we can be a part of it and still, you know, support ourselves
Yeah.
As we...
Go ahead,
Kat. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I totally agree. I think that it's a train that the horse has been let out of the barn, and technology is so advanced now that that people, it's so easy to grab music and not pay for it, and it's a travesty. And you're right, you do have to figure out how to make money other ways. Like, you know, like you said, you just came back from Russia, and touring is a way, you know, to definitely to make money. And
right.
It's, you know, it seems like all the major artists now, that's the only way that they can
out,
do it.
And
now,
out of the country, that's the
right,
sad part.
Exactly.
That's where you make your money, especially as a jazz artist, is outside of the U.S.
We are
on my level.
We are running out of time, but I want to ask you this. Where are you performing now? Where can we hear you?
Well, for the next two Saturdays, I have the pleasure of performing in Jersey, which I usually don't do because it's at Central Kitchen in Inglewood Cliffs, 717 Palisade Avenue.
Wait, give that address again, please.
717 Palisade Avenue, Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey, a lovely, newly renovated restaurant called Central Kitchen from 7 to 10.
And that's when?
This Saturday and next Saturday.
Saturday, okay, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it located again?
717 Palisade Avenue, listen to me. Yes, 717 Palisade Avenue in Inglewood Cliffs.
Inglewood Cliffs, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right up by the George Washington Bridge.
GW Bridge, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cynthia, listen, we're going to have you on again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Okay, and please let us know wherever you're performing, you know, because I want to let people know about it, okay?
Thank you. Most appreciate it.
We're having a little difficulty.
Nice meeting you all.
Nice meeting you,
nice meeting you as well.
Ken, just so we know what you're working on. I already said you're working on Parenthood now, but you just started.
Oh, you're talking about the film or the play
TV
or what?
Show?
Okay, TV
Parenthood.
Show, all right.
And that's the correct name, right? You got me both.
Yes, Parenthood.
I thought you meant he was working on being a parent or something. What did I know?
Well, he's got three kids. he's pretty much got that part down. But tell us about those experiences, Ken, really briefly as we roll to the end of the show. But your experience there working on the current show you're working on.
Oh, I think last time I was on the Michael J. Fox show, which was a lot of fun, and that ended up being a great experience in New York. And now I'm back in California doing Parenthood, which is in its fifth season, and it's a one-hour drama that's on Thursday nights and 10 o'clock on NBC. And that's not a plug, but yeah, it's a plug.
Yes. All right, give us the plug again, then. Wednesday night?
Thursday night at 10 o'clock.
Thursday night at 10 o'clock.
And only watching.
And what's that?
Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, and I was going to say, and New York's Joy Bryant is in the show, and she is great on the show. It's a great show. It's a really good show. I'm directing it. I'm directing two episodes back-to-back, and... this is my, I did it the first and second season, and now I took a break from the show for a couple of years, and now I'm back to do the fifth season. I'm really excited to be back.
Wow.
And you know, I wanted to have that conversation with us where we talked about comedy, but because of it being Mischief Night and things here, we're going to have to do that again, Kenny.
Okay.
Where we wanted to talk about the evolution of black comedy and things like that. And that's really something we could get into.
Yeah, I want to hear more about
real
that.
Real deep
and,
you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we want to thank...
Sure.
And the area of directing, what I heard when I heard you before, Ken, that was so fascinating to me. I had no idea that a director was, you know, so much involved in the entire process.
And Ken is very good at what he does.
Yeah.
But we got to say goodbye, Ken.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in again. And we will talk to you real soon.
And don't forget the name Cynthia... Holiday, jazz singer.
Uh-huh.
Kay Thompson here, Kay Thompson Live. And we will join you next Wednesday here on GoPro Radio. Everyone, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Brought to you by Vonda's Kitchen
and
Bogey's Restaurant. Go check them out. Eat there, stuff your face, and then dance.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.